You and I were talking before we came on, and one of the things I hear every day is people not being able to find the labor they need. Huge labor shortage, a lot of reasons for that, a lot of explanations for that. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Be glad to. I mean, where have all the employees gone? You know, that's just, why do we have 11,230,000 jobs available according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics? And that's what they announced this past month, you know, over 11,200,000 job openings. Just there you have it, jobs, please come take them. And to put that number into perspective, there are 5.1 million people living in the state of Alabama, every last man, woman, and child, according to the Census Bureau. So they're more than double the total number of people living in our state. They're more than double that in terms of jobs that are out there. So what in the world is going on? Well, a huge chunk of it is during the worst of the pandemic and also moving into last year, a lot of people who are over the age of 55 who had the financial wherewithal to go ahead and retire, just said, to heck with it. I'm hitting the bricks, I'm hitting the house. So we've seen the labor force participation rate for people over the age of 55 go down a couple percentage points. While that doesn't sound like a lot, that's literally potentially millions of jobs. As a matter of fact, I have read, and I haven't done the math myself, though that's a caveat, but I have read that the shortage of older people working in the workforce or participating in the workforce has led to a 2 million job vacancies out there just in and of themselves. So if we have 11,200,000, you can explain away the other 2 million, where have the rest of them gone? You know, I tell people that a lot of those people that used to drive in-town trucks, worked in the warehouse, maybe unloaded pallets, did that type of stuff, maybe even worked in fast food restaurants, they're just not coming back the way that they were. And I tell people when I make a presentation in public to pick up their phone and look at all the apps that they have on that. More than likely, they have Uber. More than likely, they use it and use Uber Eats. Mm-hmm. Lyft, we like DoorDash at our house. You know, as you can, I mean, I've become more well-rounded during the pandemic. So we like the DoorDash. But then Shipt, you know, or Instacart. You can even work gig work for Amazon and some others. So I do think that that's where a lot of those people have gone. Instead of working for the man in the warehouse or at the fast food joint, making 10, 12 bucks an hour and being beholden to someone else, a lot of these people are saying, I can go make about that amount of money delivering stuff to people and I can work on my own time and I don't have to worry about reporting to someone. So I did a little math on this, and that suggests, you know, that's maybe 3 to 4, potentially as much as 5 million Americans are getting their primary wages through the gig economy. So you got that 2 million, and then let's call it 4, that's 6 million. You divide that 6 million from the 11.2, and you have about 5 million job openings. That, believe it or not, Mike, is about the historical average. So I think really what's going on is you have a lot of people just saying, I don't want to go work. You know, I don't want to have a structure. I can make a decent amount of money here. And you have a lot of old people that just said, I'm going to hit the house. And so the confluence of these has led to this shortage of workers, a lot of it really in sort of that hourly work, but it has ramifications throughout the entire economy. And this is probably going to last easily through the end of this year, but maybe into 2023, as businesses go, I have these vacancies, I can't find them. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just flat out figure out some way to buy some technology and just make it a little bit better. You know, I've got to talk to some people that have massive amounts of inventory right now. They still can't get stuff out the door because there aren't enough people doing upholstery work and that type of thing. But we're going to adopt, you know, some better warehouse technology in order to make things a little bit smoother. So you will start seeing a lot more of that self-service kiosk around here. Cashier jobs will go away. And you'll actually start seeing a lot more robots in a lot of warehouses and manufacturing facilities.
You know, and I've read where immigration plays into that, in that during the last presidency, maybe we had some an exodus. But it seems like even with technology, there's some jobs that don't lend themselves to that. But unless we get some more people in here, those jobs are just going to go unfilled.
Yeah, I was talking with a client really in Nashville on Monday. He asked me that exact same question, you know, just is immigration a net positive or a net negative for the society? And after I get finished with my political views, I'll be happy to talk about religion and how I was predestined to be a Presbyterian. So I do make that caveat. Anything that I say that seems like I'm being political or not necessarily the views of Oakworth Capital Bank or anyone else other than mine. Historically, Mike, immigration has been a net positive for this country. Everyone that came here, for the most part, came here as an immigrant. either willingly or unwillingly, as the case may be. So that is how we have been able to grow as an economy and be able to provide the American way to so many different people, and how we've been able to lift a lot of people out of poverty to have some of the highest standards of living in the world. And so that's what happens. Immigrants come in, they take the lower paying jobs because they, on average, have lower skills, or they've come here for a reason, for opportunity, and then it works itself up. First generation, second generation. So I fully anticipate there was a slowdown in net immigration coming from Latin America during the last recession, and even during much of the Trump administration. We're starting to see that reverse. Obviously, what's going on at the border right now, you have people streaming in. And interestingly enough, these aren't Mexicans, really, this go around. A lot of Central Americans, Salvadorans, people from Cuba and Venezuela and some other places, really leaving countries where there isn't any economic opportunity and coming up here for a chance. This will take a little while for these people to kind of get in, get acclimated, get involved. But ultimately, these people coming in will help to take care of the labor shortage on that low and semi-skilled rung of the ladder. It's just going to take a little bit of time.